Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We're gathered here for another great Sunday. Wanted to share some things with the Word for with you. And I also wanted to encourage you to go ahead and sign up for our Memorial Day. It's going to be an exciting weekend together. That's May 27th and 28th. And make your preparations, get things planned so that you can have that time available to you. Of course, the information is on our website, myinternetchapel.org, and you can register there and make your plans to be with us. It'll be a fun time. I'd like you to take your Bibles and let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. We'll start in, and I wanted to continue to develop some things that we started last week on Philippians 2. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Not that it contains the Word of God, but that it truly is the Word of God. And as such, it has to be understandable and simple enough that anyone can read it, anyone can understand it. And yet at the same time, have enough depth to enrich every man, regardless of their intellect or learning or abilities. There has to be something there that not only can give you understanding, but can enrich your life. And it can be received in all the simplicity and yet be explored in its immeasurable depth. And as deep as you want to go, how deep you want to go. This morning, I'd like to take you kind of on a snorkeling expedition. We'll just get down a little bit above the waves and look at some of the things we covered in Philippians chapter 2. But in order to get there, I want to start in Ephesians chapter 1 and read through some of this. Beginning in verse 15, it reads, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith," or your deep-set beliefs, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Just as these great heartfelt prayers for us. And here's what he prays. Here's what the Apostle Paul desired for us, and certainly it's got to be what God also desires for us, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." And the only place we're going to get the knowledge of him is through the Word. And every time I go to the Word, maybe not every time, but I see these things in a little further depth, or God shows me some things in a greater depth, and I know he does that for you also. Verse 18, and here's the purpose: "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies," or this text reads beyond the heavenlies, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who filleth all in all." It's God in Christ in you, and you are completely filled. In all, filled all in all. Now begins chapter 2. "Even you," and even me, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, or that's at work in the children of disobedience, even now, even right at this moment. You know, I think about that. I remember watching a movie about men who were on death row, and every place that they went, there was somebody walking in front of them saying, "Dead man walking here, there's a dead man walking here," because as far as he was concerned, and as far as they were concerned, he was already dead, even though he hadn't been executed. He was a dead man, and they considered him a dead man. They wouldn't even refer to him by his name. They wouldn't do anything to acknowledge that he was alive except walk before him and say, "There's a dead man walking here." That's what was sort of our fate, so to speak. We were dead men walking, dead women walking, until the Lord Jesus Christ came and redeemed us and gave us life, and God gave us eternal life. But we walked according to the courses of this world. You probably remember some things in yourself. You walked according to the way that the world runs, according to the prince of the power, and that word power is authority, one that exercises authority and power over an area of responsibility. And the children that now, and the spirit that now worketh or is energized in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. The word conversation here is much more than just what you're saying, just what you're speaking. It's Old English, and it means your manner of life, the way you just conduct life. And we were all there, because you can only go as far as you've been taught. And if the world is teaching us things, then we can only go as far as what the world teaches us. There are other avenues that we can learn, and certainly God's word is one of the ones that teaches us great truths. But among whom we all had our conversation, all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The word wrath just means over desire. Even as others, but you see where the world is going today. We say things and they sound nice. Shouldn't people be allowed to love whomever they want to love? Yes, that's fine if you're talking about loving. If you're talking about sexual intercourse, that's not what that scripture's talking about. But it's used as a cover to move us to different things, because the next step is going to be with children. That should be all right. If you're allowed, you should be able to love whomever you love. Eventually, you're going to get to the logic of our children, and then we'll go beyond children to animals and other things. This is the courses of this world, and we all walk according to it. And it all initially sounds right. It may even sound logical, but all truth is logical, but not all logic is necessarily truthful. And we have to come back to the word. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. God, rich in mercy, his great love. His great love. He's rich in mercy. The word mercy means to relieve the miserable. And it's moved by his love for man and his great love. The word great here means great in number. It's so numerous you can't even count it. It's a Googleplex, maybe, or something along that line. It's a number you'll never reach. It is so big, and it is so enormous and so amazing. It's unfailing, it's unconditional, and it is an everlasting love. Beautiful. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. He loved us even back then when we were dead in sins. Hath quickened us together with Christ. The word quickened again is an old English word. It means to be made alive. He made us alive. When we were dead in sin, he made us alive in Christ. So where should we be living our lives? Well, logically and wonderfully, in Christ. And who wouldn't want to live in Christ? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? He raised us up together and made us sit together. It's a finished work. When the scriptures talk about they sat down, it means they finished what they were doing. And this work is completed. We're seated, as far as God's concerned, from God's perspective, we are seated in the heavenlies. And that should be our perspective in life, seated in the heavenlies. We have this wonderful viewpoint of life. Or we have access to this wonderful viewpoint of life. Seated in the heavenlies. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his anger toward us. No, in his kindness toward us through Jesus, Christ Jesus. This is really an incredible scripture. Just reading it the way it sets, beautiful. It should be encouraging that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's wonderful, just reading it on the surface. But now I want to show you, just to take you snorkeling a little bit, what's underneath, to look at that. The word ages makes it a beautiful figure of speech. The word ages comes from the word breath, or to blow. It's significant of the course of human life. Remember, God breathed into the nostril of man, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's significant of an entire span of life, but it's ages, so it's spans of life. And the words to come, also they mean to come, but they also mean to go. So it covers an entire span. Coming and going is a good way to put it. Coming and going. And it's superimposed over man from the beginning all the way to the end of life, which ours is eternal. It has no end. But it goes all the way back and shows his kindness from Adam all the way through to the last man and continuing into that eternal life. That's what this is really portraying. That in the ages, all the way from Adam, all the way through, his kindness has been there. His love, his good intent toward man has always been there, and he wants us to know that. He wants us to be able to see that. Not only now, but the past, the present, and the future. It has always been there. God has always had this love for man, this unconditional love, this unfailing love, this everlasting love. He has always had it for man. And we should recognize that, so that when we go back and read the word, we read it with in mind that he has always had this love that's too numerous, too big to count, Googleplex love for us, that is unfailing, unconditional, and everlasting. And then read the word in light of that great truth. Beautiful. Verse 7, that in ages to come he might show, or and the word show is the word for display. He might display the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us. Beautiful. He might show or put on display the riches. And the word riches is an overflowing abundance of grace. Everything that is beneficial to life, he has overflowed to us. And that kindness is a sweetness of disposition. I know people sometimes picture God as this angry, you know, one pet throwing lightning bolts and so sorry ever made man and all this other stuff. It's not true. He has a sweet disposition toward mankind, all of mankind. Not all of mankind has a sweet disposition back to him, but we should. If we know and understand how much God loves us and we get rid of all of the, fake news, and just allow the scriptures to really speak to our hearts how much he really loves us, our lives would take an enormous turn for the better. His disposition or outlook of mind toward man in kindness toward us, see, that he might put on display the exceeding abundance and overflowing of his grace in kindness toward us. I want you to see it, and not only that, I want you to see it in your daily life. I want you to experience that in your daily life through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, which is the faith of Jesus Christ, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God toward you. It is the gift of God, and it's toward us, and it is for us. He just gifted it to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything except be born. And his unconditional, unfailing, and everlasting love is there, and he desires for us to know it and to have it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The word the word workmanship is that which is made with effort, thought, and design. It is God's handiwork that he has put effort, thought, and design into. Now, if he created the heavens and the earth, and he got it so that planets aren't bumping into each other, we see the stars, we watch the courses of them, we can see constellations and stars, and all of these different things, I think he's pretty good at his handiwork. I mean, you think about it. You go out at night in a dark place or on a mountainside, and you look at the stars, and I am flabbergasted by the beauty of it. You go and you look at the mountains, and they are just gorgeous to look at. We go into the sea, and we go down, and we see the coral reefs and all the colorful fish and all these things and all the teeming life that is in them. And we are flabbergasted by it. And yet, God doesn't regard them as greatly as he regards his work in us and the work that he has done to man. It is that big. It is that huge. What he created in Christ in us is full of benefits for mankind, and it's openly revealed and put on public display for all to see when you and I walk in the love of God. and he has given us his love so that we might even walk in love. We make crystal clear God's plan for mankind as we live it. And if people never read the book, they can read our lives and see God's plan for mankind if we desire to show it forth. You know, his plan was not that, you know, he's going to put it on display and that we're going to be in this museum in heaven and, you know, there'll be a little pedestal and we'll be sitting there waving to everybody. That's not it. It's the action of our lives is constantly on display and radiated before man, that man really has no excuse when he sees our lives and realizes and has the ability to realize it was all part of God's plan. Now, do we make mistakes? Absolutely. But it's still his plan goes so far beyond our mistakes, and he so covers our mistakes with his grace and love, we show forth this beautiful plan that he has had for Christ and for man. Beautiful. Well, let's go to Philippians. And with this in mind, I want to start to read here some of the things we read last week in Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, with that in mind, that God has had this plan and he has made this masterpiece, he considers us his masterpiece, made with thought, design, and I forgot what the third thing was, but he's made it. As a matter of fact, I want to read this to you from my book, The True Justice of a Just God. On page 74, I write that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The word shew or show means to put on display. For we are his workmanship is a thing produced as with effort, object, and design. If what is on display was created in Christ Jesus and was done by God with effort, it must be his magnum opus, his pièce de la résistance, a masterwork of perfection. The believing ones will be the showcase of God's magnificent handiwork in Christ to exhibit his grace and kindness. While in this life, as we walk according to the scriptures, we depict the majestic brilliance of God to the world. For those who have a hunger of the heart and eyes to see, flashes that awesome craftsmanship of the Creator, loosely veiled by our flesh. And then, after the gathering together comes, voila, comes the full display of the believing one's hall of fame. We will not be standing on a pedestal in a gallery, but we will be the living, moving representation of the good works which God hath before ordained that we should work. Every act of love for God and every heart won for Christ will be personified. We have played and will play a grand part in the reason why every knee shall bow and every tongue, all of the people and in all of the languages, shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that beautiful? That's part of what we're going to do, but we have that opportunity to live that today. And as I continue to look into the great depth of these truths, I see it's something that is available today for you, something available today for me, that we can so represent Christ and we can so show God's handiwork. We can show his amazing goodness, his kindness, his favorable disposition to mankind. Beautiful. If there be, therefore, chapter 2, verse 1 of Philippians, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. The word bowels means a mercy that is so deep, it shows the way out of the courses of this world and the way into the kingdom of God. We, by our lives, can show the way that leads out of the course of this world and into the kingdom of God, which is present right now. As Jesus told his disciples, the kingdom of God is in you. People are waiting and looking for the kingdom, but the kingdom of God is already present. It's in us, and we may live in it, and we will get to live the beauty of it and the graciousness of it for all of eternity. Something that is so deep and so moving that only the greatness of the love of God will move us to that point. Verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. This is the way that we can bring joy to the Father's heart. This is the way that we will fulfill his joy, that we will fill it to capacity, fill it to overflowing. This is how you and I bring great joy to the Father's heart, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, being of one accord and of one mind. His joy is to send us and show the way out of one plan and the way into his godly plan. One accord means souls together. There are lots of differences and choices we can make in life, differences of opinion on lots of other things. But when it comes to these truths about God, that he is light and in him is no darkness at all, that he is love, that he is kind and his will for man is goodwill, we should remain like-minded on that and be sure to portray that in our lives and in our living. God is light, God is love, and he is good always. And we should stay like-minded on that. I remember one time when I was in training for the ministry, the ministry had published a book and they put it out and they decided that they were going to advertise it on the side of the buses in a community or in a city. You know how they have those ads on the side of the bus and they put it on there. And it was sort of a controversial topic from a lot of people's point of views. It wasn't to ours. And the papers responded both with articles and with people's letters saying how terrible the man who wrote the book was and how horrible he was and all these terrible things about him. And one of the men that were in the group that I was part of got up and said, "Oh my gosh, how could they say such terrible things about you? And all these awful things that you're a heretic, that you're a lunatic, and many other kinds of ticks that they could think of, and say such terrible things about you." And he kind of chuckled and said, "Me? They're saying that about you. If you believe the same thing that I believe, they're saying that about you. They just don't know your name." You know, they did that to Jesus. They said those things about him and were critical of him. But if we believe the same things that he believed, you know what they're saying? The same things about us. Well, let them speak, because I know what God thinks of us. I know what God has in mind for us. It is love, it is light, and it is good always. He has good intent. So let people speak, let them say. But I believe those things. I believe the same things that Luke believed. I believe the same things that Paul believed. I believe the same things that John believed. And if you have read this word of God and you believe those same things, they're saying the same things about us. But let them say it, because when they are critical of my Lord, I count it all joy that they're critical of me. Well, be one mind. God is light. God is love, and he is good always. Share and live those same, very same deep beliefs concerning God. He is our Savior, and he is our deliverer. He delivers us from the course of this world and the sons of disobedience all the way into his kingdom. Well, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to death by the cross. Therefore we should be obedient unto life. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name. The text reads, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, and every tongue shall confess. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, that is all of the angels and all of the angelic spirit realm, the seraphims and all that, will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. And things in the earth, that's humans, and things under the earth, those that have died and will be in the resurrection. We are going to be part of the reason that every knee shall bow. You know, the first time I ever saw the Grand Canyon, I was traveling with somebody, and we were on our way out to California, and we're just chit-chatting in the car and all of that, and we parked in a parking lot, and you had to go up these steps to the viewing point. And we're just talking away, you know, kind of forgot where we are. We're just talking away. And we climbed up those steps, and all of a sudden, boom, there was the Grand Canyon. And we were just dumbstruck. We couldn't even speak. It was so awesome. Words, they weren't there. There was nothing we could say. It was just that magnificent to see. Well, I believe because of the work that we do, when men and women really get to see who Jesus Christ is, what he has accomplished for us, and what God has done for all of us, they will just fall to their knees, not because they're shoved to their knees, but because they will just not have the human strength to even stand. They will be so awestruck by the beauty and the magnificence of what God has done, and the kingdom we have made our transfer from, the kingdoms of the course of this world, to his glorious kingdom. Every knee shall drop, including ours. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. We will be so overcome with joyful adulation and awe, you'll just drop to your knees. I wish I had a better grasp of language and a bigger vocabulary to try and share with you what these things will be. But we'll just have to put our heads under the water and snorkel a little bit and just look at it. See, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, that's Old English. It means with awe and great respect. That's the fear and the trembling we will have, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's what I wanted to share with you today and just take you a little bit further into those things so that you have a little bit, maybe a little bit bigger view of what God has called us to in this life, calling us out of the courses of this world into his glorious kingdom. God bless.